This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You damn Skippy, we start now. Once more, an appreciation of D&M Auto Leasing for the opportunity to chat with those five fellas of Payne and Pendergast. Actually, you're headed out to rookie minicamp, aren't you?
I am. All right, very good. If anything dramatic happens out there, do you want me to call
yes.
in?
Yes, oh, without that was the whole point of me asking.
Okay,
call in immediately. We will break into whatever we're talking about.
Okay, sounds good.
Yep. So you can expect, hopefully, to hear from Sean Pendergast once more today.
I'll have some hot David Johnson level take.
Oh, yeah. That's what the
body
people
types.
Want.
Yeah.
That's what the people need, in fact. All right, let's get going on a Friday. It is indeed a Friday. Thank goodness that it's a Friday. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you. And you joining in the myriad ways that you can do so here on Sports Radio 610. There is the text line, 713-572-4610. Always, always, always love for you guys to be a part of the program. It's much more fun to get through the workday that way. Also, appreciation to the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers for the live stream. Both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch page, 610 Houston. And not only is it Friday, it's rookie mini camp,
Yeah, man. Who y'all trying to see?
Let's have that discussion, right? Because, look, in a way, if you're a sicko, which, look, you wouldn't be here if you weren't some level of football sicko. This is kind of where the start of the 2025 season happens, right? Like, this is the beginning. And so let's get into that football mindset. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that we could learn this weekend and that you want to learn? 713-572-4610.
Look, and let's not downplay. I mean, it should be downplayed to a degree. It's the rookies to a degree.
Not only is it the rookies, it's fairly limited. Because, like, and Nick Caserio said this with Payne and Pendergast when he jumped on with them. It's always insightful to some degree. I know that there's, as you mentioned, a lot of word salad that happens. But there's things that, and he's giving more and more with the more instances that he has with the general media, but specifically with those fine fellas. But, they're getting in, they're getting familiar, they're ramping up. So it's not going to be everything, but that first taste means something.
Right, and that's what I want to emphasize, because there are some things that we can start to learn, let's put it that way.
Okay, that's a great distinction.
About some of these guys. Last year, just 1 year ago, we were hearing things out of rookie minicamp about Kamari Lassiter. How did that work out? I mean, Kamari.
I think he was good.
Yeah.
I do love that I saw someone on the text line earlier this week, and I feel bad that I did not say earlier. They're already starting the All-Pro Kamari All-Pro Lassiter.
Pro Bowl Lassiter? Pro Bowl Kamari?
Okay, Pro Bowl is probably the easier path to go for.
I'm about to say All-Pro.
That's what I was like. They're already starting that one, and I'm like, okay, I love the...
Let me get some of that Kool-Aid and weed you smoking, though.
So then do we try and push the Pro Bowl Lassiter, Pro Bowl Kamari? It's Pro Bowl Lassiter, right?
Pro Bowl seems better.
All right, so let's push the Pro Bowl Lassiter agenda. I'm going to put that on the docket for In the Loop LLC. I'm going to go ahead and write that down on my legal pad here. Pro...
Bowl.
Lassiter. All right, so we'll keep that going. But yes, you're right. Like last year, that's where we started, and Kamari Lassiter had a phenomenal season. Like opposite a bona fide All-Pro in Derek Stingley Jr., and I don't think you could say on the other side that he was lacking. Like that was not a situation where teams were like, well, that guy over there is a All-Pro this year. Let's throw to the other side. Oh, no.
Yeah, no, look, let's talk about some of the things that we could fit into that realm.
Okay.
I think the first one, we got news on it yesterday, today. Is Jaden Higgins like the real deal? They think he is. He became the first ever second round pick to get a fully guaranteed contract. I mean, that says something about at least how they feel about him. And we also know how important Jaden Higgins might be to this receiving core. So that's something to look at today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I don't know to what extent we get the feel, but like, obviously, there's a lot of guys in that room who could be kind of that third wide receiver when it comes to you get to the three wide receiver sets that have become so standard for teams. It feels like pretty much a given that he is that guy. Like, that is the one where you're right. I think that we can get a Kamari Lassiter-like insight into whether that is officially the case. Whether it's just like, yo, Higgins is that third guy to start with unless somebody else comes out here and does something fantastical, which I think it's fair. Like, I think that's absolutely a fair place to be. And I'm excited. Like, I continue to think about how exciting that is because he does kind of profile as Lil Nico, right? Like, he has the fluidity. He has the versatility. And, of course, maybe most importantly, he has the size that I'm so excited for the possibility of, in the same way that I'm talking about, like, and to further that Kamari Lassiter comparison, in the same way I'm talking about that either or proposition, which is really just neither when it comes to your cornerbacks, I love the either-or proposition of Nico Collins and Jaden Higgins on the other side if he can come along as quick and as seamlessly as it seems like he might be able to.
Yeah, and there's another obvious one, and then I want to get to some less obvious ones that we might get some
100%
some light on this weekend. But the other obvious one is Tay Ursary, because there is nothing, and players will tell you this, if we had Seth still on, he would probably say it, rookie minicamp, there is nothing like getting that individual coaching on technique, getting ahead on the system, a new system for everyone, by the way, and he's starting now, and showing how much of a bully or a specimen he can be, playing tackle. All eyes are going to be on Tay Ursary, at least from people like Sean Pendergast and all the reporting types that are going to be out there. This is it's going to be all eyes on Tay Ursary. Is he? What does he look like? Physically, you know, is he going to be able to show what he can do at the tackle position? Will he be a threat, you know?
Yeah, and the thing I'm concerned about, and of course this is, I use the word concerned a lot, and this is probably the lightest iteration of me using it, is just we might not get a lot of information off of Tay Ursary in this weekend.
Feet, physique, size, movement, that type of stuff. You know?
I was going to ask y'all, who y'all think going to be the MVP of this mini camp so far? Who are we going to be talking about the most? Or are people going to be talking about the most?
I have a dark horse candidate. I have a dark horse candidate, and he's one of the less obvious ones.
I wonder if it's one of the ones that I'm interested in.
It might be.
Please.
Tafuna, the defensive tackle from Utah.
Okay, that was not where I went, but that's a good one.
Yeah, he is a pass-rushing inside defensive lineman. You know, he's a guy that can, collapse pockets, and get guys moving. Obviously undrafted free agent, but nevertheless one of those guys that they clearly had an eye on. Very, very good career as a defensive lineman. I think he's going to be one that some people might go on, hey, who's that guy, you know?
Yeah, and I think that Junior Tafuna is who we're talking about there, right? I think that this is one of those places where you absolutely could see something like that, him factor in. I do wonder, however, with him, if he is able to supplant what is a pretty robust room.
I'm just talking
there.
About a guy that can maybe impress. Yeah.
Fair enough. That is fair. Since we're there talking about UDFAs, like, I think that's going to be an interesting subplot of this, is like, which or who of those UDFAs might kind of stand out within here? Because, and I will salute again Jonathan M. Alexander of the Houston Chronicle, who had also a piece speaking of the rookie mini camp and talking about, you know, five things that he's watching when it comes to this. And one of those is which of these undrafted rookies stand out, pointing to British Brooks was in that place last year. And he ultimately did not have a lot of a factor in the regular season. But going into it, he gave you a little bit of a good look. He felt like he was a guy that could have been utilized in some special ways, especially when it came to fullback. Didn't come to fruition, but I think I put that more at the feet of Bobby Slowick.
Yeah.
But it feels like you have some guys who might be able to step in there. And obviously, Tafuna.
Who were you thinking of?
I was thinking about Eli Cox.
Oh, you know, he's my other one on my list.
Yeah, Eli Cox is one of those guys. And again, with offensive linemen, I do wonder how much you can actually get of this.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see how highly they view him, because one of the things that we know, even though each of the guys that played center last year for your Texans that started, they had their own issues, and but they had some things they did well, some things they didn't. Neither of those guys, I think, are we so solid on that they are absolutes with the center's position. Is there any possibility that someone like Eli Cox could come through, and especially in an offensive line position where that's not one of those places where you absolutely have to have that high draft pick type talent? Like, obviously,
happens a lot.
It would be preferable, right? Yeah. It shows that you know that there's that competition and what have you, and that's why guys go higher. They've shown improved. Yeah. But this is an opportunity where, yeah, you could have somebody who's undrafted step in, especially in a center role where that's less predicated on like size and athleticism per se. I'm interested to see just how much he's going to factor into this competition on that line, particularly at that center spot.
And he is, I mean, there's opportunity there, number one. He's played in the SEC. He was a team captain at Kentucky. And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago or a week ago. His coach at Kentucky for 2 years is the Texans' assistant offensive line coach. So he's got some ins. He's got some advantages there. Another couple of other sort of low-key things that we should be able to get a little more clarity on after the weekend here, beginning today. So Jackson Woodard is a linebacker.
Correct.
That the Texans signed after Seattle waived him. Seattle already has had their rookie minicamp.
Right.
So is that a good thing or was it not a fit? I'm very intrigued by that because maybe, you know, they decided, yeah, we're good after seeing him at rookie minicamp. So maybe he's just not what the people thought he was. Or maybe he just wasn't a fit there, but could be a fit here. And the Texans wasted no time getting him in.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Yeah, and that's a good question because you would typically kind of ponder on the idea of if a team's like, hey, you're cool, but you're just
not going to happen here.
Like, we don't have enough guy, like, or we don't have like room. They'll keep a guy and like see if they can get him to the practice squad. That's not what they did there. And what I'm looking at, to be fair, is they got a lot of linebackers.
Yeah.
The Seattle Seahawks do. So maybe it was just even if he has some level of fit, even if he's a good player, it just does not quite fit with the number of guys. Like, even if we got to that place where we're like, hey, we want to keep another good guy around and see if he can make it to the practice squad. There's a whole bunch of them. I also wonder, because, again, that's a Seattle Seahawks team that plays a 3-4 as opposed to the 4-3.
Yeah.
So maybe that fit does come through. Mm-hmm. But also on top of that, I do wonder if, and well, I guess not wonder, but I do feel a little bit more comfortable in the idea that, that he was not necessarily just like a not great player, and that's the only reason why Seattle moved on, because it's not like this Texans team did not scout the entirety of the draft class themselves.
So that's
like,
why there's intrigue there.
Yeah, I don't think that they immediately went and put in waiver claims on this dude just off the idea of, well, you know, let's see as a flyer. I'm sure that there are some things that they like about him that they want to see up close and personal. So I think that could be cool. I do wonder if he would even really have an opportunity to break in to that into that linebacker room. But maybe if he shows up and he has the things that Frank Ross looks for in special teams, like could he beat out someone like a Jake Hansen? You know what I mean? Like, is that something where he can end up being that depth guy who also is a special teams all-star?
And you mentioned Frank Ross. That's the other little low-key thing that we need to keep an eye on here, because Rookies play special teams. Undrafted free agents that are excellent at special teams have a better chance of making the squad. Drafted guys like Jalen Knoll, that's a guy to watch. You know, the cornerback, Jalen Smith.
Jalen Knoll especially, like, is he going to be returning kicks?
Right.
And how good does he look doing that? Because I think that that speaks heavily on one of the other dudes that you got signed up, which is Braxton Berrios. Because I already don't really view Braxton Berrios as a wide receiver for you on this team, with all due respect to Braxton Berrios. Like, if you have Jalen Knoll in there who, you know, again, if you're just going off of roster and if you have injuries turned off on Madden, right?
Yeah.
He does not profile as a guy who is going to start. He might be involved in some ways, right, in the rotation of wide receivers, maybe so. But it seems like he might, his best opportunity to impact a game might be in returning. Yeah. If he does that, then where's Braxton Berrios fall? Like, he might fall right off in some ways.
Yeah, and we've mentioned this a couple of times. Frank Ross has had a very big, very good offseason, very good free agency, very good, you mentioned Berrios, very good draft, very good with these undrafted free agents that are also going to be out on the field. How about Jalen Reed, the late round crazy man safety?
Hey, we might be doing a little much, right? He was just excited, although, you know, he played one of them positions where he might be.
You weren't crazy man on special teams.
I don't know. Like, also, I'm always very uncomfortable using the word crazy.
Well,
like, especially
in a sports term.
No, I know what you mean. No, I'm just like being completely honest.
He's a crazy man.
My hesitation is like I'd be trying to be careful with the word crazy because there's
let's
also
say swarm.
Things. But yeah. Also, crazy man. Like, hey man, I need you to rein that in because we've come off a couple dudes that maybe you could term at some level crazy man. I feel like Chris Boyd, maybe you put that in that space, and there were some issues with that.
Yeah.
Obviously, the issue specifically being like, you know, penalties and stuff. I'm not trying to make it anything that it's not. But yeah, man. Like,
what was that term he kept saying when they called him? Not let's go. It was
let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. And yeah, let's see if he's ready to do it, right? But also, yeah, I would love somebody more, more guys in the room with that kind of energy.
And oh, by the way, you got a long snapper not named. You got long snapper Austin Brinkman in, not named John Weeks. He'll be out there, I guess, snapping. I don't know to who, but he'll be out there. And one other, by the way, we're going to find out numbers today.
Yes.
We're going to find out numbers, Figgy.
We will get some idea about numbers. And one of those guys' numbers that we're interested to see, 832. Let's see that boy, Woody Marks.
Yeah.
That is fair. But yes, also, yeah.
That guy.
I always forget that Woody Marks is forever indelibly tied to John Harris being way more excited than I ever anticipated hearing John Marks. But apparently he might have the toughest time picking a number because both of the numbers that he wore at USC and Mississippi State respectively are tied up with Kamari Lassiter wearing the 4, CJ Stroud obviously having a 7. 4 is where he were at USC. Mississippi State, he wore 7. So where does he go? Does he do the crazy thing of being like, I'm going to wear 47?
Is he going to be a single digit? He's been a single digit.
He could be, right? Like, both of those are single digits. That would maybe lead you to believe that he is inclined more towards single digits. So, interested to see that. Ursary, I think, hypothesized by Jonathan Alexander again. Ursary could get his college number since Shaq Mason has vacated it. Yeah. A nice 69, which would be very nice. Jalen Smith, you know, he wore 2 in college. So, those stand to reason that you end up with those spaces. Knoll probably gets his college number 13. Higgins, he wore 9 in college, so we'll see where he goes. But yeah, seeing what those
Brevin
numbers
Jordan's
look
on
like.
The clock again.
Oh, you think? Ain't no way.
No way.
All right.
No way what?
They come in, the young boy coming in, just jacking him for his number?
Oh, no. I thought you said no way that he's, like, getting cut or something.
Oh. Well, actually, I don't really feel like, who would you be in your tight end room in that instance? Because it's Dalton Schultz, it's Cade Stover. I think those feel evident, whether it's the number, the dollar amount that Dalton Schultz carries. And then I think just Cade Stover seems like he has the most promise to play big for them.
But Cade Stover have a big camp. And he's showing like, hey, I could be number 2.
Sure, 2 is fine. But then you still need that depth. And I mean, you have, besides Brevin Jordan, you have Irv Smith.
Lachey.
And Lachey.
Luke
Lachey. Yeah, I always wonder because I'm like, what's the famous Lachey cat? Is it Nick Lachey?
It's his dad. He was a lineman. That's part of his.
You don't know about Nick Lachey.
Nick Lachey's hockey, right?
What?
Sure.
Oh, the singer, the entertainer.
Nope. He's a hockey player.
Played a couple he do sound like a hockey player.
Played a couple years for the Atlanta Thrashers. I remember him for sure.
Nick Lachey is a hockey player.
There's too many Lachey.
But that's why I feel like I will always pause before I say Luke Lachey because I got to remember Luke Lachey. So for the 8-3-2, their prediction for the Texas O-line from left to right, Cam Robinson, Howard, Eli Cox, Blake Fisher at right guard, and Ursary at right tackle. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Wow. That is, you got some funky stuff happening there. All right.
Jim Lachey played for the Redskins.
Correct.
Is his name. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. But yes, that's wild. But the first step to figuring out if that's the case, if Eli Cox can take that role, is seeing what rookie minicamp holds for us today. If we get a call from the great Sean Pendergast, we know that something is indeed moving around and shaking around out there at camp.
Sean needs to call in with that sound.
Is that the sounder? Yeah. Is that the bat phone sounder? Okay, very good. That's the rookie mini. If you hear this sound, know that the rookie
somebody
mini
got a Woody.
Okay, all right. That was good. I got to admit. All right, coming up next, because I just want to run away from that. You are in the loop on this Friday. Coming up next, this Friday also begins for the Astros. It is a Hunter Brown day, so happy Hunter Brown day to you. But it begins one of the big stretches in this Astros season, 17 games in 17 days. What has to happen in these next 17 days for the Astros to call it successful? Let's talk about that next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.